Hello and welcome to the fifth in our series of cosmetic course podcasts. My name's Adrian Richards. I'm a consultant, plastic and cosmetic surgeon, and also the director of cosmetic courses. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers, who's one of the directors of consultingroom.co.uk, and we're going to be talking in particular about how internet can help your business, how you should set up websites, and how to market them. So I'll go straight into the interview now. So welcome to the second of our series of interviews with Ron Myers, who is director of the consultingrooms.co.uk, which is probably the premier area for information on the web about the aesthetics industry. Now, Ron is a real expert, as we've heard before, about legislation, but I think his real love, or one of certainly his main things he talks about and very knowledgeable about, is online marketing. So this is something I'm also very interested in. So Ron, could you just briefly outline, sort of top tips for people perhaps thinking, of starting an online marketing campaign?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the key thing really, obviously, is to look at getting the basics right, I think, from a web design perspective for a start. Or even right back to basics, the right name, making sure you've got the right domain name that links into your business name that you build your site around. Then the other thing in terms of looking at the look and the color and the design of your site should really be the same as your offline marketing materials, so your brochures and leaflets and business card and that kind of information. So you're getting consistency in terms of what clients see both online and offline.
Can we just go back a little bit? So yeah. Something I always tell people, at cosmetic courses is, certainly do a search for your name.
Absolutely.
How much does a domain name cost to buy?
Well, it depends who you buy it from.
Yeah.
But you're looking really at anywhere between sort of $250 for a .co.uk a year and up to around £20 for a .com. For most people, really, operating a business in the UK, you will want to have a .co.uk domain name.
Yeah, so it's a general thing. Don't go for a .com, go for a .co.uk. Certainly buy your name.
Well, absolutely. Either your own personal name, if that's what you're going to operate under, or the business name that you've registered, whether that's with Companies House or whether that's just a trading name that you're operating under as a sole trader.
And that's an easy thing to do.
Where do they go to do that?
Where would you buy it?
You can. If you just type in domain names into a search engine, you'll come up with a number of different providers where you can register the domain names with. We register domain names on behalf of people as well. I think the important thing is wherever you buy it from, make sure that the name is registered in your name. So more often than not, people will go to a web designer when they're initially looking at this, and the web designer may buy the domain name. But sometimes some unscrupulous designers will register that name in their name. And then if you want to move the site or go somewhere else, they may charge you for that domain name.
Yeah.
So make sure that you own it. That's the absolute key.
Yes.
And also make sure that it's registered and updated every 2 years or every year when it comes around for re-registration.
Yes, there's a few things. So register. So people will search your name. So register your name.
Yes.
Do just check. Again, I would 100% agree with this, that the name is registered to you at your address. Yeah. And then you should get an automatic reminder every couple of years to re-register.
Absolutely, to re-register it, yes.
Okay, so should everyone have a website?
I believe in the current climate that we're in, I think everyone should have a website if they're involved in business. And it doesn't necessarily mean to say that it has to be a website you have to pay for.
No.
So, for instance, if you look at Facebook, which you can go on and put your and build a profile for your business in Facebook, in essence, that's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It can act as a website for your services. And it can be a very effective one as well. So if you don't have any money initially to put into building a website, then I would certainly put together some pages in Facebook. you can build very simple sites from sort of a few hundred pounds up to sky's the limit, really.
Yeah.
Or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 pounds.
Yeah. Would you advise people to ask for, because when you go to a website designer, if you don't have much knowledge, you don't ask the right questions, do
no.
you? So what about a content management system? Is that a good thing for people to have, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and really what a content management system is a system that you can basically desktop publish your site online. So you gain access to a password-protected system whereby you can change any of the information on your site, click update, and then we'll update the information on your website. And you should be able to do everything there, from adding in images, even to videos as well, through this content management system.
Yeah.
So it's important you have full control over your site, because otherwise if you don't, and you actually have to go back to a web designer, it may take a week or 2 weeks before he does it, and also they'll charge you more money.
Yeah, and it's an easy thing to do. It's just like editing in Word, isn't it, really?
Just like editing in Word, yeah. It is very easy. I mean, and you can it's very easy to play around with. Just get a feel for it. If you can manage Word, you can manage pretty much any content management system.
Okay. Any ones people should look out for, do you think, Ron?
I mean, there are lots and lots of online website providers where you can build a website relatively simply using templates, etc., and using their content management system. None that I would particularly sort of recommend, because I haven't actually used them myself.
Yeah.
But if you are going to go to a web designer and look for something more bespoke, then do make sure that you have access to a content management system.
Okay. And the other thing I know you're very keen on is Google Analytics.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you explain a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. It's a free package that Google offer, and it's a small amount of code that you can add to your website, and your web designer can do this very simply for you. And what it does, it basically tracks where and how people are finding your site. So it tracks the words that they're using to get to your website, which is important as well. So that gives you an idea as to how well optimized your site is from a point of view of coming up in natural search engine listings. And it also tracks where you're getting links from other sites to your site. So if you've got links, say for instance, if you're paying for a directory listing on yell.co.uk, it gives you an idea as to how many people are coming from yell.co.uk to your site as well. So it helps you to assess the worth of paid for advertising, as well as looking at how effective your site is at bringing people in from a natural search engine listing perspective.
Yeah. So we've got it set up for our websites. I get every Monday I get an email from Google Analytics saying how many people visited the site,
absolutely,
you know, where they came from, and I think that's absolutely
it's fantastic information. It's free as well. It's a free service, and it just gives you some idea as to how your site's performing, so that you can then look at different strategies as you go forward and become more sophisticated, and then see whether or not those are working and actually bringing in more potential clients and customers to your site.
Okay, so when people are approaching a web designer or going to get a new website, what marketing features, you know, do you think people really should include in their site?
Well, I think the key thing that they need to look at is making sure that the site is very easy to navigate around and get through. So the information is easy for people to find in there, because that's really what people want to find. They want to find information about you, your services, and not only come to you rather than a local competitor. So it's making sure that the menus are laid out in an easy, navigable way, and the information is laid out in similar fashion. Make sure that you have your contact number on every single page. Don't make it hard for people to find you. Don't force them to click on a contact button. Ideally now, I think, as well, you should have some form of contact form on every single page of your site as well. So make sure that if people want to contact you about a particular treatment that they're looking at in that treatment page, or prices, or whatever it is, wherever they are in your site, make it easy again for them just to fill in details, ask you a question.
So sort of one click to do that, really.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people are very lazy now. And, you know, if you've got people going through the content in your site, wherever they are, and they've got a question, or they're kind of thinking about, you know, potentially contacting you, make it easy for them to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, rather than just putting all of your contact details and your contact form in a contact page. you see what I mean. Make sure it's all throughout every single page on the site. Other things you may want to consider is a newsletter, and I think they can be very important to build up a contact list. So again, you can incentivize that as well with saying that your newsletter signups can get maybe special offers or first information on open evenings that you're running, that kind of stuff. Get people to sign up for that. That provides a very easy contact route then for you to go out with further information.
So you've just mentioned sort of contact lists. Yeah. You know, just explain to people, you know, what a contact list is and how they should be using it.
Okay. In essence, when anyone is looking for a particular service, they may or may not be ready to buy that service at that point in time, but they may still be interested in hearing further information about you, your services, what you can do to help them. So they may not want to phone, but if there's a box there that kind of says that you'll keep them informed with new information, maybe open evenings, special offers or whatever, what they can do is fill in those details. If you're clever as well, you'll also ask them what particular areas they're interested in, whether it's botulinum toxin, wrinkle treatment, or whether it's fat reduction or whatever, you know, menu of services that you offer. So then you get an email through and that adds into your contact list for somebody who wants to and has opted to hear more information from you. So it's kind of like a warm target list.
And how should people, they're going to get all these email addresses, how should they manage them?
Well, that depends on the particular systems that they use. Some of these can just be pushed directly into a customer relationship management system. So in other words, a database that you may have to help run your clinic and keep all the information anyway from a point of view of diary dates, all of your existing clients, client records, all of that information. Some of it can do that automatically. Some of it can just basically put it into a sort of a newsletter software where it'll stay in there, and then you can basically email out using that newsletter software.
And the big the names to look out for really that we use or have looked out for sending out newsletters, the main programs, there's a very good one called MailChimp.
Yes.
So MailChimp and AWeber are the main.
AWeber is a very, very common and popular one as well.
So yeah, if you're thinking of sending out newsletters, I would have a look at those.
Definitely. Too. Yeah. I would agree with that. There are even other more sophisticated ones, and I'm looking at one at the moment called Infusionsoft, which is an incredible marketing system that will put information in and tag people and then also automate follow-up responses that you've designated as a routine. That might be very, very specific to that individual client.
And what's the URL for that, Ron?
Infusionsoft.com. It's a very interesting piece of software, but it also is certainly not for anyone who's not familiar, I think, with marketing software. It's fairly sophisticated.
But the MailChimp and AWeber are quite easy to set up, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that's much simpler. Infusionsoft is really a lot more sophisticated, but also has a lot more power as well than AWeber in terms of what you can do.
And AWeber has sort of templates, doesn't it, where you can just put your information and then it monitors, you know, how many people opened your email, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And all of that is very good, you know, good information to have and to be able to how effective your marketing is.
Okay. The next question really is, you know, just can you just explain to people what pay-per-click advertising is compared to organic and where they would appear on the Google, you know, Google search?
Yeah, sure. So say, for instance, you're operating a business in Birmingham and providing Botox injections. More and more now, people are searching for treatment providers in a given area by geographical areas. So they might be typing in Botox Birmingham, for instance. For that particular term, it can be, because there are lots and lots of providers in Birmingham, it can be difficult to come up in natural search engine listings for that term. So in other words, for the words in your site to be pulled out for Botox Birmingham to come up in that first page, and that's really the aim now, to come up in the first page in Google.
Could you just clarify, just explain what an organic search is and above the fold. What does above the fold mean?
Well, basically, you'll have two or three, or usually three for those terms for Botox Birmingham, what they call sponsored listings, right at the very top of the page, and that's basically pay-per-click. So, in other words, you pay to have those adverts presented there. Every time somebody clicks through on that advert, it's going to cost you money, anywhere from maybe 80p to £3 or £4, depending on how competitive that particular term is and how many people are wanting to advertise for that term.
What's the most competitive term, Ron?
I haven't actually looked at that. Botox certainly is probably around about £350, so that's certainly more expensive, for instance, than Restylane or Juvederm.
Yeah.
As a brand name. It changes all the time. This is the issue. So what's tend to happen, though, over the last sort of couple of years is that all of these have become more expensive because more and more people are using pay-per-click, and because it's based on an auction basis. So in other words, you're bidding really for either first, second, third, or fourth or fifth position. The more people bid, the more money, the more it costs. So it's like an auction.
So would you advise to people to go for the sort of longer tail key phrases, so Botox Clinic Birmingham?
Absolutely. Again, that will cost less, but also there will probably be fewer people who will be searching more specifically for those, as you call it, long-tailed sort of keywords. But again, people do use all sorts of different search terms in order to find a provider. And it's important that you try and look at the terms that you're advertising for, how much that's costing you, in order to get people through to your site, and more importantly as well, whether or not those people are actually acting on that as well. And I think that's important, is where they click through to in your site and how compelling the information is in there to make them, want to phone you rather than somebody else.
Yeah.
It's very, very easy for people to click back and then, click on another site and another site until they find something that kind of talks to them and appeals to them.
Yeah, do you use the Google Keywords tool very much, Ron?
Yes, that's a useful tool as well. So you can put different words in and try and see how many people are searching for those words and the different variations of those words as well. It's a very useful tool.
So just to clarify that, if you search Google for a Google Keywords tool, it's a free tool that you can put in sort of Botox Birmingham, Botox Clinic Birmingham, Restylane Birmingham, and it will tell you exactly how many people search for each of those terms, won't it?
Absolutely. And another really useful site that I've seen as well is something called spyfu.com.
Yeah.
That's spyfu.com. And if you go on there, you can actually look at and type in the name of a competitor. And see how much money they're spending on keywords and what words they're bidding on as well.
Yeah.
And again, I would always tend to go and look at the bigger companies, because these are companies that are more sophisticated, have much, much bigger budgets, and will be employing somebody to do this probably on a full-time basis. And so it's a good idea to look and see what adverts they're using, what words they're using, and where they're spending their money and how much they're spending.
Okay. Do you think people can manage the pay-per-click themselves generally, or would you advise that they get a specialist?
I would say when you're starting, I would advise people just to probably set up an account themselves. It's very, very easy, very straightforward. You can put in your credit card details, set up an account, have an advert, and be top in Google for a particular search term within an hour.
And one thing I would counsel is you must put a daily limit.
Absolutely right, yep. So it has to be managed properly. You can put in as little as, say, £10 a day, and when that budget runs out, then your advert will not appear. It won't cost you any more money. You can then look and see, okay, well, what clicks did I get for that? Did I get any calls off that as well?
Yeah.
The other really, really key thing is to make sure, for most businesses, that they operate out of a geographical area rather than being multi-site. Is to make sure that your advert is only served up in a geographical area that you think is your target area. And you can do that very easily in Google as well when you're setting up your pay-per-click account, is to look at the geographical area, and you can even sort of almost draw lines around cities that you want to include, or towns, Or you can just say, I want anyone from a 30-mile radius of from where I actually, you know, physically operate.
Yes.
So it's that is really important, because you don't want, and I see it, you know, you can see it time and time again, where somebody, for instance, is offering Botox injections in London, and somebody searching in Birmingham sees that, clicks on the advert, goes through and sees it, you know, it's a clinic in London. They're not going to travel now.
No.
They're a very, very special business, and that has cost that business money. And you tend to find that that is either because they didn't really know and understand what they were doing, or sometimes you do find that if you pass this over to a third-party company, some of them can be a little bit unscrupulous, because they make money on the amount of money you spend. And so you will find that they will put in a lot more keywords than maybe you might want initially, and also larger areas if you haven't controlled it properly.
Yep.
You can spend literally thousands and thousands a month if you're not careful.
I mean, I think it is one of the best ways of burning money. I was talking to someone from a reasonable-sized company that
yep.
spent £90,000 in 1 month on PPC.
Absolutely crazy.
So it's crazy, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say for the average, you know, if you're starting off a small business, try it with just, you know, and certainly if you're just doing Botox and fillers as well, you know, niche services, start off, you know, set a budget of £100 a month. You will definitely get a return on investment from that, as long as you've got all the other things right from a point of view of the information that that advert leads to. Because remember, all you're doing is trying to get someone to click through then to something that then has got to convince them to contact you in some way, shape or form.
That's an important thing, that if they're looking for Botox Birmingham,
yes.
The landing page which your PPC send them to should be about Botox in Birmingham.
Absolutely right. And in essence, that's also where microsites come in as well. And in fact, this is more of a trend as well that's happening within the industry. And certainly companies like Skin, which you may be familiar with, are big 35, I think, sites now. They have business that are involved in Botox, fillers and lasers.
Yeah.
Are using microsites, which is basically, it's a single page site that's very, very specific. So it's like almost leading them through to an advert. So what tends to happen is that in people's sites, so say for instance if they're leading through to the Botox page in their site, it'll tend to talk more about Botox, what it is, how it works, rather than why them for Botox.
Yes.
Which I think is really important, because I think a lot of the time once people have got to searching for particular terms like Botox in Birmingham, they've probably already decided that they kind of want that. And they've probably already done their research on maybe sites like the Consulting Room or other information sites out there that talk about botulinum toxin, how it works, what it can do for them, whether they're suitable.
Yes.
What they're looking for really then is a provider. And what you've got to be really convincing of is that when people get through to that page in your site, that it says to them, why me as a provider,
yes.
rather than a local competitor.
Your unique selling point, perhaps.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So why you? You know. I would absolutely agree with you with that. So, just to go back a little bit, if someone is looking to set up a PPC account, when
yes.
they go to Google, what do
yep.
they look for? What do they search for?
Well, if they set up a business in Google, so if you go to Google, and in fact, if you just type in pay-per-click, actually, it will lead you through to the
yes.
page you need to go into there. It's that intuitive, really.
Yeah. And I think there is a little, if you look on some of the blue text on the homepage, there is a sort of thing for business, Google for business.
And you can set up a business account. You can do lots of other things in there as well. You can set up a calendar, which can be useful, that can be shared with lots of other people.
Yes.
You can put documents online. You can set up your Google Analytics from there as well.
Yep.
So there's a whole host of really useful features.
And the other thing I always say is Google Alerts. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Google Alerts. So you can basically get Google to send you emails through for certain words, which is quite useful. And I use it a lot as well for from a business point of view. So for instance, and it's useful as well if you're running a business with a particular name, is to say every time somebody searches for or puts information on Google about my particular business name, I want to
yep.
find out why, you know, what people are saying.
Yep.
That can be useful both looking at positive information and also maybe any negative information about your business as well. And I think, especially when you're looking at social media now, when you're looking at it being very easy for people to comment about businesses in both a positive and a negative way as well, I think it's important that you can maybe see sight of that before other people do.
I've got a number. I've got my name, Aidan Richards. I've got Rora Clinics, Cosmetic
Absolutely.
Surgery Clinics, and also some of our major competitors. So I know. It's a very, and the beauty about this, Ron, is that these services are all free.
Absolutely, all free. So, you know, very easy to set up, and it pushes information to you rather than you having to search for it, which is, you know, just makes sense.
Absolutely. And just going on, I know we could talk about this all day, and perhaps we'll do a subsequent podcast. videos are, you know, with faster streaming and better broadband, videos are really sort of coming in. And any comments on how people can use that in their marketing?
Sure. Well, I know you're a very big fan of videos as well. I think you've probably got more videos out there than most people. But I think this is really as a result of the fact that it costs less and less and less to actually produce video content. And in fact, you know, even now you can buy little flip cam videos as well. Take a video and upload it to YouTube, which is a video directory, and it costs you nothing but a bit of time, really.
Yeah.
So it can be as simple as that. And I think probably if you're looking at video and you're thinking about usefulness and, you know, putting video content on your site, video testimonials is probably the easiest, simplest, cheapest way of using video marketing.
So basically what you take a video, you can edit it if you want with, you know, there's lots of, you know, I use a Mac. You can use, you know,
free editing software all over the web.
And
again, if you're not familiar with this, but if you have children or a younger person, these sort of people, or you know, for a few pounds, literally, will get this sort of stuff up and running for you. And you don't have to pay for a, you know, sophisticated production company to come in and edit videos. You just don't.
So in fact, some of the videos, if they're a bit sort of rough and ready and real, are better than these really glossy ones, I think.
I would totally agree. I mean, I think that's what people want to see, you know, the real you.
Yes.
And I think that's also what social media and social marketing is about as well. It's more about revealing you, your thoughts, what you stand for, you know, a lot more detail about you rather than just kind of a corporate face of a business.
Yes, it's more personal, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, of course, some people are very comfortable with that as well, and some people are private people and don't want to reveal a lot of personal things about themselves, and you don't have to. But it's important, I think, to look at providing comment on what you stand for instance, your views on certain aspects to do with the cosmetic surgery industry, whether it's legislation, whether it's particular procedures. There's more than enough stuff for people to comment on and have views on in this business.
Yeah. What sort of social marketing sort of sites and tools do you think? You mentioned Facebook. Any other ones? Hmm. Twitter, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, Twitter, I mean, again, you know, these Facebook and Twitter are free. I mean, Twitter, very easy to set up. You've only got 140 characters that you can actually use to put on and put a post on. It's called, I guess, in the
micro-blogging, isn't it?
Micro-blogging, So, you know, small snippets of information. You can do it from your mobile phone as well. It's exceedingly easy to do. And it's another way of getting information out there about you and your business that can potentially get to, you know, potential customers.
Yeah.
I think Facebook is probably more appropriate for most businesses than Twitter because you can put more information in there. You can put pictures in there. You could
Videos,
absolutely. You can advertise at events, open evenings. People can, you know, become fans of your business as well. You can send emails out to them. That's why, as I said, if you can't afford a website for a start, you're probably just as well setting up a Facebook account for your business because that's free.
Yeah.
And just getting a feel for putting information in.
Yes.
You can interact with, you know, potential customers with. And again, if you've got a Facebook account and you've got a website, then obviously put a link from your website and Facebook account as well, because what that can do is provide a little bit more detailed and more current information about you, your business, what you're doing.
Yes.
So you might be launching or thinking about buying a new machine, might be getting it in, you might be training people up on that particular procedure, getting ready for an open evening, all of these things are news and information.
Yes.
That people then can look at, and they just feel a little bit maybe more comfortable with you. They can interact with you as well. They can put comments on. So if you're saying, we're thinking of launching this particular equipment, somebody may put a comment on and saying, oh, that's interesting, can you send me more information, or send that information to a friend as well. So it's another way of disseminating information out to other people in your locality.
Absolutely. So Facebook, Twitter, I know people that with their iPhone, if they're at a meeting, they'll take a picture of the meeting and then it goes straight on the Twitter, all these. And it's about, all about communication, isn't it?
It is. It's about communication. It's about building a profile and a different, just a different way of communicating and interacting with not only potential customers, but your existing customers as well. And I think that's really important.
Okay.
Because, people spend a lot of money on marketing to bring people into their business, but then sometimes forget about those people when they're in there. And especially with Botox and fillers, it's all about repeat business. It's a repeat business model. So you want those people to be coming back to you for Botox and fillers for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Yes.
So you need to have a communication portal and channel there, and Facebook can be one of those channels, because otherwise, if they're only coming every 6 months or so, and you're relying on them to contact you as well when they're ready in 6 months' time for a top up for a filler, that's not enough nowadays.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. The other one, some people I notice more and more people using is LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes. I mean, that's certainly more, I think, business to business.
Yep.
And again, I think a great way of networking within the industry, networking with other people who can maybe provide support services for your business, with colleagues, other people who are running medical aesthetic businesses as well. LinkedIn, I think, is another free tool, another thing that you can use that can help you to build a network of contacts that could be useful to you. And also, you may be providing specific services that other people don't provide. Training, for instance.
Yes. Yeah.
That obviously, they can that you can help to advertise more business to business. If you have a particular expertise with a particular procedure and you want to self-training, or provide an ebook or information or mentorship or whatever, then LinkedIn, I think, can be a very good way of marketing that service. So yes, LinkedIn can be very useful if you're providing particular specialist services that maybe aren't mainstream, or if you want to provide training to the industry or mentorship, or you've got any particular ebooks or any video demonstrations or whatever that you might want to make visible or sell, then that's a good portal to actually market those services to the industry.
Brilliant. And Ron, that's been absolutely fascinating. I know you run a web design company. Could you just explain a little bit about what you do and the advantages of using your services?
Sure, yes. I mean, we have our own web designer who we've employed for the last 7 years, and we can build anything from a simple microsite, a simple one-page site, to a full website, or even an e-commerce or an e-shop platform as well, which, again, can be part of a business strategy if you're selling a lot of retail products. I guess our USP, if you want to call it that, is that we only build sites for clinics and suppliers working in the aesthetic industry, so we just focus on that. And also, we provide an interface between ourselves and our web designer, who is certainly a very techie guy.
I've met him. He's very knowledgeable, isn't he?
Absolutely. And so sometimes people find it difficult to talk to people who talk in a technical, more of a technical language, and what we can do is to help kind of simplify the process and provide an interface between what people want. The second thing is what we think they should have, because what they want isn't necessarily what might be effective for their business.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, obviously, is to provide the realization of that in terms of an effective website that works for them.
So if someone wanted to perhaps talk to you, Ron, about... You do consultancy for people as well, don't you?
We do, yes. I mean, if people want more information on that aspect of our business, probably best to go to consultingroomservices.com, and they'll learn more about us, what we do, and the different services that we can provide.
And then perhaps give you a ring to chat through things.
Absolutely. More than happy to have an informal chat with anyone.
Brilliant. Well, Ron, that's brilliant. I mean, I learned a lot there. So thank you very much for sharing your time with us. And
oh, thank you, Adrian. I've enjoyed it.
And I wonder whether in the next one we could talk a little about our offline marketing and how you integrate the offline and
absolutely.
Online. Brilliant. Well, thank you for your time today, Ron.
Thank you.
So thanks again for listening to the fifth in the series of podcasts from Cosmetic Courses. We're going to be doing a number of podcasts in the future covering other topics, and I'm going to be talking to Ron again about offline marketing and, you know, ways that you can really manage your practice to make sure that it's as efficient as possible. So again, thank you for listening. You can subscribe to the podcast either via our Cosmetic Courses website by pressing the subscribe button, and that way you'll automatically get any future podcast delivered straight to your earbuds. Alternatively, you can go to iTunes, search for our podcast, and again you can subscribe that way so that every time you put your iPod into iTunes, you'll automatically get the podcasts. So again, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll be able to listen next time to the Cosmetic Course podcast.